EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. We are joined by Dale from Las Vegas and his remarkable account of his near-death experience. You do not want to miss this. Before we hear from Dale, if you've had an experience that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or on the contact page of my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com, or you can connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Hello.
It's great to have you on today, and you are calling from Las Vegas.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Excellent. And you're with us here today to share a near-death experience that happened to you in Florida?
Yes, sir. It was the 2004. It was a year that Florida was experiencing all the hurricanes that were coming through the state.
Would you like to start at the beginning for our listeners, please, Dale?
Yeah, I sure would. You know, and it's always hard to start this, you know, subject or story because it was just it was a weird time, truthfully. But it's back in 2004. I lived in Orlando, Florida. At the time, I was a truck mechanic, so I worked on the big rigs and, you know, stuff like that. So that's the big semi truck and trailer combinations you'll see driving down the road. And we did mostly like fleet maintenance service. Basically, 2004 it was a year that Florida got hit with like four hurricanes. So now you just have to paint the picture when Hurricane, I think it was Charlie, was the first one that came through. You know, a lot of damage and devastation through the state. A lot of EMS workers and emergency workers all through the state, you know. So it was a turbulent time. So after Janine was the next one that hit, and then Ivan was the third one that was coming up the coast. And basically when my story comes in is – I had one of my best customers that was doing like food service deliveries to like these fast food restaurants. And basically they had a truck breakdown in Gainesville, Florida, which is approximately about a little bit over 2 hours from where I base my, you know, my business out of. And normally what would happen in that occurrence is you would call an outside vendor or somebody like that to go actually fix the truck instead of sending one of my own techs or myself going out there to do that. But back in 2004, I don't know if you guys are it have Nextels or if you know what those things were, but like a two-way radio we use, you know, and cell phone service. But the service lines were all jammed up because of all the emergency workers that were in the state. So trying to use like the two-way feature on the Nextel radio was it was pretty much worthless at that point. And cell phone coverage was is hard because a lot of the cell phone towers were down and this and that. So, but anyway, I had a truck stranded up in Gainesville, which was right around the corner. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Gainesville area in Florida, but it's right around the corner of the college. And actually, just pretty much off the college campus is where this fast food place was. So basically, I called my vendors, tried to get them out there to take care of it. And everybody was pretty much under an evacuation order at that point for Hurricane Ivan coming up the coast. So this was all around September 11th and going into the 12th. You know, and I had to make the decision because this went on all night long going into the next day, which was September 12th. You know, I had to make a decision to do this myself because I could not even get hold of my own techs that lived in the Orlando area because it was just that hard to get a hold of people. So and normally this is something I wouldn't do at this time. You know, I've been working in the business a long time. You know, I was more administrative at this point. But, you know, since it was one of the best customers we have, you just have to do what you have to do. So, you know, I just had a bad feeling about this, truthfully, and I don't know why. And I can look back now and say, well, okay. But anyway, so I traveled 2 hours up to Gainesville to work on this truck. And when I get there, and you just have to imagine, so there's a fast food place. And now you'll see it was a 48-foot trailer, semi-trailer, with one of the big refrigeration units on the front of it because they delivered, like, frozen, you know, products and stuff like that. So this thing is fully loaded. So the truck and trailer combination together weigh about 80,000 pounds. The trailer itself, fully loaded, is about 60,000 pounds. So at this point, the two drivers that were with the truck, they went ahead and left and went back to the plant. And they sent another truck up there to pick up the trailer after I repaired it. So he was sitting in the parking lot. You know, I showed up on scene, talked to him, looked underneath, saw what the damage was. So I started doing the repairs. After I finished the repairs, and now you have to imagine, I'm sitting flat on the ground. So my bottom's on the ground, my legs are straight out, and I'm sitting straight up. Now, there's maybe an inch of clearance between my head and the bottom of the trailer towards the front. So right where the big refrigeration unit is, I'm sitting right underneath that, or underneath the front coupler of the trailer. And this part is just where it gets a little hard. So, but, you know, I finished up repair. The driver was actually on the phone with one of the owners of the establishment. And I looked at him and I looked over and said, hey, we're good to go. And literally, I mean, just as soon as I went, because my head was straight up at the time. And just as soon as I started leaning forward to get out from underneath there, it was like a sonic boom went off. And what happened, there was a sinkhole forming underneath the parking lot where I was at. And at that point, the trailer went through the pavement of the parking lot. And now it hit me in the back of the head and it hit me on the shoulders. And at that point, I'm still sitting straight out. My legs are straight out. My back is straight up. My head was forward. Now it's pinned to my chest. And that's when it gets a little crazy at that point, because now I didn't know at the time, but there's this, like, from eyewitnesses told me, they just said they just seen blood just pouring out of my mouth and my face. And I mean, I was trying everything in the world to have my hands on the ground. I can remember trying to push myself over to, like, fold myself over to get out from underneath there. But I couldn't move because my spine was literally jammed into the ground. At that point, I heard the driver say, he was on the phone, he said, the mechanic is dead. And I sat there, and all of a sudden, I can feel this thing sinking into the ground. And as it was sinking, it was just basically crushing the life out of me. And at that point, I remember my spine collapsing. I can still feel it to this day when I think about it. It's not a very good feeling, but I felt my bones actually crush and my spine break. And that is the last conscious memory I have. Now, you know, the official report is, I think on the accident and stuff, I was gone for 4 to 5 minutes. But now the next thing I can remember, and I remember just visited, you know, vivid as it was yesterday. I remember just being in like this, I would say black abyss would probably be the best way to describe it. There was a sense of overwhelming euphoria. And to me, that sounds a little crazy because what happened traumatically, you know, seconds before, I don't know, but it was an overcoming sense of peace and bliss is all I can describe it. And I remember just kind of floating around in there. I couldn't really see anything at that time or, you know, or visualize anything, but I could hear like other people and other, you know, beings, if you want to say, around me, but I could not visually see them at this point. So that lasted for a few minutes, I guess, because honestly, at this point, I'm not conscious. I'm not alive. I don't know where I was at, you know, and now I can reflect back on this. And I think this is the part where I crossed over, but I remember after the abyss, then all of a sudden I was literally standing there looking down upon myself. And at this point, I could see my body was out next to the trailer, and you have to, and I'm trying to paint the picture so you can understand what I was looking at. And like I said, this is ingrained into my mind, just like it happened yesterday. But I could see from my point of view, so I'm standing looking at, just imagine like a fast food restaurant with a side door, a glass door you can in. So I can see the restaurant, I can see the door. I could see my body laying in the parking lot, but everything was the same as it was, but it was kind of, the background was like a reddish hue or, you know, kind of like a, it was the same, but it was different, if it makes sense. But it was like, if you're looking at something, you put a red filter in front of it, and that is what I was witnessing. So it was like a pinkish, reddish hue background all over the place. I mean, the air, the trees, the building, you know, myself, everything was just like looking through a red filter. That's the best way I can describe that. And I noticed when I looked over, there was, and this part, you know, is kind of, it takes me back every time I think about it, but there was a being standing there. And when I say being, I'm not talking a person. I'm not talking some guy you would meet or a person or a woman you meet on the street and say, hi, how are you doing? It was a being. It didn't have any distinguishable characters or features, but it was a silhouette or a translucent being. You know, and now people over the years ask me, was it angelic or something like that? That, you know, I didn't see any kind of features like that. It's just all I can tell you, if you're looking at a person's shadow and if it was just kind of translucent and you can kind of see through it, but you can see definition of a person. It had arms, legs, torso, and a head. But any other features than that, like a nose, mouth, ears, hair? No, absolutely not. It was just, like I said, you can pretty much see through it, but you can see the outline of it. And then I seen it standing over the top of me. So I'm now, you got to remember my, if you want to call it my soul or whatever, was standing off to the side and I'm watching this happen. And now, mind you, and this will come in later, I see myself laying next to the trailer, you know, kind of like dragged out from underneath. At this point, I have no idea what's going out in the real world. This is just what I was witnessing when I was crossing over. And I think this is right when I crossed over, this happened. But the being actually knelt down beside me, and it literally reached its arm, its hand inside of my chest. So I'm standing here watching this happen, and I'm thinking, I really wasn't thinking anything. I'm just like watching it. You're just kind of like a visitor at this point, seeing what's happening. But, and this is where things get a little dicey. When I say that, it means I felt something, and I felt a very sharp pain right in the middle of my chest. And I mean, it freaking hurt. I can still feel it. And I felt this sharp pain. When I felt that sharp pain, I was basically transported back to the black abyss, but I seen a white point of light in front of me. And I saw this point of light, and I mean, it was very, 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 very extremely bright. And then all of a sudden, it felt like I was just getting sucked into this thing. So I'm like racing towards this thing, just being drawn into it. And once I breached that point of light, I mean, as soon as I went through it, it is like every memory that I've ever had in my life started passing before me like about 1,000 miles an hour. And I can feel myself, and I can just feel it just pulling me through. So I'm going through this white tunnel, and I mean, I'm just getting pulled through. My memories are flying by. Sorry, that's a little tough to remember that one. But now, once I get through to the other side, and this is going to sound strange, but at this point, the memory starts slowing down. And then I'm finding myself standing here looking at this. Only way I can really describe this is like the old-time movie screens. And I see this, it's hard to describe. It's like these pictures. So I want you to try to imagine there's like a big movie screen sitting in front of you, and you're looking, and it's like a screen drop or something. But you see, I remember seeing like a Native American in like a big long flowing headdress kind of thing. I remember seeing there was like a triangle with some kind of circle in it. There was a few other pictures all kind of glommed together. And then all of a sudden, it's just like this big sweeping motion started happening. And if you remember watching the old movies or something like that, where it was counting down. So this one started at 5, but it was 5, a big sweeping arm sweeped around the screen. And then, 4, 3, big sweeping arm, just keep moving around, 2, counting down to 1, and then I'm just sitting there looking at the screen. And then I just hear this noise, like I won't say a buzzing noise, but like a pitched noise, like a high-pitched noise. And I'm looking at this, and then, bam, I open my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I'm looking up at this gentleman who was standing over me, and I guess I scared the bejesus out of him, because he immediately started saying, hey, buddy, just stay there. And I could see him looking over at people saying, he's alive. And I just want people to know at this point, because, I don't know if you're trying to read into it or whatever, but there was absolutely nobody trying to do any kind of CPR or life-saving techniques on me. The ambulance, the medical, nobody was there. And I was pulled out from underneath the trailer, laying flat on the ground. And there was 2 gentlemen, and thank God they were there that did that. They pulled me out from underneath that. And they even told me, he said, man, he goes, and they were, I'm thanking them. I said, thank you at this point. But I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, so let me get back to it. So I'm looking at the gentleman. He's like, don't move. People started walking or coming around, and I immediately just started, and I don't want to try to get too graphic, but just coughing up blood. my whole throat, mouth, everything, it was just full of blood. So there's no way I was breathing on my own because of the amount of blood that was in my mouth and lungs and at the time. And like I said, nobody was doing any life-saving techniques on me either. So, and later on, I'm trying to think, does somebody's heart just restart itself like that? I don't know. I still don't know. I try to read things about it, but the information, you know, it's here and there on that. But at this point, you know, I'm alive. I can look, I can see, I can feel the wind, the rain coming in, you know, my sensations. And, you know, I do a quick check of my toes and my feet, and I did a quick check of my fingers, and I can move everything. And it's just like, I cannot believe I'm alive. And I would say after that, when I came back to, the ambulance showed up maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, and they started assessing me, looking at me, you know, doing all the things that the emergency, you know, nurses do. So I went to the trauma center, which was literally right around the corner, which is Shands Medical Center. And that was maybe like 2 or 3 blocks from that. I went in there, you know, at this point, and for some reason, and I'll explain this a little bit, there was an overwhelming sense that it was going to be okay. And I'll explain a little bit more when that comes in later, but I wasn't really panicked at the time. I was very calm. I remember looking at one of the EMTs that were in the back of the ambulance with me. We're going over there, and he's calling me in a code 3. I don't know what a code 3 is. I'm a mechanic. I'm not a, you know, EMT guy. But, you know, I looked at him and said, what's the code 3? I said, is this guy not going to make it? Or, you know, he kind of chuckled. He says, no. He says, you're alert, responsive times 10 and, you know, and basically stable at the moment. So I went into the emergency room, trauma center. They scanned me, did everything else. You know, I got broken bones. My spine is collapsed. I've got three fractured vertebrae. My lower spine was crushed. My chest was crushed. My sternum was broken from stem to stern. So, So the injuries were there for sure. Yeah. I mean, and I tell you, I was in the hospital. They evaluated me, and you just got to imagine looking at me. I didn't know it at the time, but my eyes were pretty much red. When I say red, I'm not talking bloodshot red. I'm just talking like somebody took a paintbrush and painted all the whites of your eyes red because all the blood vessels broke in my eyes. The tip of my tongue off too. I think that's where some of the blood came from, but not all of the blood. I don't like getting too much in that because it's kind of a graphic detail, you know.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
But afterwards, you know, it was tough. It was tough trying to figure out how that happened. And I'm thinking over and over, and this feeling lasted for, God, oh my gosh, like almost a month. But I felt like I shouldn't be here. And when I say that, I don't think it's survivor's guilt or anything like that. It's just I felt like a fish out of water. Like this plane of existence that we're in now, I shouldn't be here. And I mean, I thought over the years, how did I survive that? I really just don't know. You know, and I've told this story to some people before, and people get upset. And I mean, and I understand it's upsetting now, because when you look back, because if they have a loved one or somebody they lost, and whether it was some kind of accident or just some kind of something that's out of left field, you know, and they've asked me this question, like, what makes you so special that you come back and they don't? And before, I would never know how to answer. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know. But the answer is, there's nothing special about me. How I survived that, I really just don't know. And with the being that I saw and I witnessed, like I said, it was translucent. I've never seen anything like that or heard anything at that ever like that. So, and, you know, and then I've had all sorts of people ask me questions about this, you know, like, you know, where did you think you were going to go? Are you going to go to heaven or, you know, hell? Or I'm like, honestly, I don't know, but I wasn't scared. I wasn't, you know, it was more just a euphoria when I was gone, when I was crossing over. I felt at peace. And like I said, shaking the thing. And I mean, it's hard to tell people like, hey, you know, I should be dead and I don't really feel comfortable being here right now. But now, don't get me wrong, after it kind of wore off, but for the first couple of three weeks, I didn't think I should be in here at all. But now I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm alive. I'm thankful I'm here. And I tell you, and going through it all, you know, you kind of reflect on it now. You can kind of look back and see what happened. But I tell you, you know, as far as like, was it a spiritual being or an alien, this per se, that I really don't know. But I can tell you one thing that kind of happened was through it all, you know, I would get messages, and I know it sounds weird at this point, but, you know, I remember visiting my wife one day, and this is about 6 months after the accident. You know, I'm moving around pretty good. Believe it or not, I'm walking okay. And I'm sitting in her office. She worked at a dental office at the time. I'm sitting in the office waiting on her to come out to go to lunch. And there was this young lady sitting across from me. And, you know, I'm just reading through a magazine, just kind of ho-humming along. And she just keeps looking, letting me look at me. And she comes over and sits next to me. And I'll just have to add, I'm not a very religious person at all. You know, I do believe in, you know, spirits and things like that. But she just looked at me. She goes, I'm not trying to, you know, sell you my church. You know, when somebody starts that conversation, you're like, okay. But and she's like, I just, you know, she goes, I usually don't do this. She goes, I'm not trying to get you to join my church or anything. I just got to let you know. And she was very empathetic when she was talking about this. And this was something she just had to do. But she says, I just got this strong, overwhelming feeling that God wants me to talk to you right now. And he just wants you to know it's going to be okay. Sorry. I thanked her, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, this is, you know, somebody that's, you know, works with my wife and she knows the story. But come to find out, I mean, you know, my wife came out, we went to lunch, and I was telling her about it, and she didn't know who that girl was. She goes, I don't know who she is. I'm like, well, and I figured she heard the story or something like that, was trying to comfort me. But the answer to that is no. She was not affiliated with the dental office, and she didn't know why she was in. Maybe she was seeing, I don't know. So that was strange. But, and then later, good gosh, 6 to 8 months later, it happened again. I'm in the Reno airport. I'm getting ready to catch a flight back to Orlando. I'm flipping through a magazine, you know, and you know how you are when you're in a airport, you just kind of scan the crowd, look around, you know, just killing time. And I seen this older couple, I would say probably in their mid late 70s, but I seen them talking and pointing my way. So I'm thinking maybe they recognize, I don't know. I didn't think too much of it. And they come over and sat next to me. And I could not believe it. They started out the conversation almost identical what I heard 6 months before. And it was the lady that was speaking to me. She says, I'm not trying to, you know, get you to join a church or sell a religion. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, oh, hi, you know, okay. And then she says, for some reason, you know, God wants me to talk to you right now. And once again, I'm not a very religious person, but now, whether this is a spirit, an entity, or something else manifested in the universe, But she said the same thing. God wants me to let you know it's going to be okay. Because at the time, there's just a lot of stuff going on medically. I didn't know what was going to happen. But it was just a couple of messages that I received. And I'm talking from coast to coast of the United States. So these two people or two groups, there's no way they knew each other or knew me or knew what was my deal. You know, and it's not like I sat there and told this story to thousands of people. I have not. I mean, I'm very discreet in the past because, I mean, it's very traumatic what you go through. But yeah, I just remember that. Yeah, and now I can look back. I mean, it's been some years later. And trust me, you carry this your whole life. It just doesn't go away. But yeah, I still remember that. But, you know, once again, I don't know if it was like I said, I don't know if it's God or, you know, or a being or something, but something was there. Something brought me back to life. I'm just not sure what it was.
You know, you could say you're very lucky to be with us today, Dale, but I kind of feel that someone else had a helping hand, and obviously just wasn't your time.
Yeah. I heard that from a lot of people. They said, man, it's just, you know, you're supposed to be around for something, which what is, I have no idea. but yeah, it was and let me tell you, I always have to think back no matter how tough things get. Like right now in the COVID-19 world, it's tough. But to me, you know, and like I go back to my head was straight up. If that thing would have went through the pavement at that time, we would not have this conversation because I would have been dead on site. So you're talking a fraction of a second, you know, whether it saved my life or whatever, I don't know. But as far as like the experiences, I am certain when I crossed over at that point.
Do you have more of a tendency now to follow your gut feelings?
Absolutely. You know, now more than ever, I actually just, I go on intuition and gut feelings and signs and everything like that. And I never used to be like that. But like I said, it changed me a lot. I'm a lot different person than I was back then, for sure.
What was your belief pattern beforehand about the afterlife?
Truthfully, I was never raised in like a church setting, going to church on Sundays and something like that, you know. My mother did have me baptized when I was younger and stuff like that, but I never really had views on it, truthfully, when it comes to the afterlife and what happening and all that. No, I never had an opinion one way or another.
When you talk about the feeling of euphoria, I think that's probably very comforting to some people to know that the loved ones won't feel any pain when they are crossing over.
Yes, and I can feel it. I remember the feeling right now. I mean, there was a sense of overwhelming, just euphoria, and I would say bliss. I was not panicked. I was not feared. I was not, you know, in pain or agony or anything like that. It was very peaceful, and I think that's part of the thing I wanted to get back to after I came back, because, you know, of course, now you're back alive, the pain's here, but crossing over and when something does happen like that, it's very peaceful. And like now, I mean, and there's no going back on this. I think, you know, once you experience this, I know there's something on the other side. I know what's on the other side of the light, and it doesn't scare me at all.
I think now it leaves you a bit more freedom to live your life and, you know, enjoy everything now.
Absolutely. And I've learned not to sweat the small things in life, and just like the message I've heard over and over, it's going to be okay.
How long did it take to actually recover from your injuries?
I tell you, I've had, you know, all combined, probably several surgeries that's went on, you know, few back surgeries. You know, I still feel some of the after effects, but I mean, it's been a few years, but I'm getting around pretty good, actually. You know, and somebody told me that things happen for all a reason. I'll just touch base on this. But I'm a firm believer that that happened actually saved my life down the road. And just real quick, I mean, I remember going in and seeing my neurologist, you know, and I had this shooting electrical pain going down my spine. Well, you know, they sent me out for a CT scan and they took a look at my neck. Well, they noticed a lump I had on my thyroid. And fast forward a couple months, I got diagnosed with thyroid cancer, stage 3. So if they didn't take the CT scan of my neck and saw the lump, if you connect the dots, it may have gotten worse. I don't know, but I'm thankful they seen it because it saved my life at the end of the day again. And now I've been 11, 12 years now in remission from thyroid cancer.
That's great news. Well, that's absolutely fascinating, Dale.
Thank you. I'm glad I can share that experience with you and everybody else.
I know it certainly helped other people as well. To our listeners, if anybody else has experienced a near-death experience, please get in contact. Very, very lucky. Very lucky, Dale.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I tell you, once again, I'm just thankful to be here. But yeah, that experience, I mean, it changed my life, and it still changes on a daily basis. It, you know, it sticks with you.
All for the better as well.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that, Dale. That's great, that is. And it's something, you know, a lot of people experience.
Yeah, and I tell you, and I can just reassure, you know, the people out there, there's something on the other side for sure. And it's all good, you know.
So don't sweat the small stuff.
No, don't sweat the small stuff at all. Just enjoy your life.
Especially through these crazy times at the minute.
Absolutely. Man, I just, you know, this is something I just had to get out there. And I'm a firm believer that the universe is just kind of pushing me to do this. You know, it's a little hard, but, you know, it's just, it needs to happen.
Sure, I understand. And because it's something which basically touches everyone for life and death.
Absolutely.
Sharing this, you're probably reassuring a lot of people, not only for themselves, but obviously for loved ones that they've lost over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. If that can help somebody out, I'm thankful for that and reassure them what's out there.
Of course. Being that you experienced, do you think maybe, what do you reckon it was? Do you think maybe an angel or?
You know, I always like to talk with certainty about that. If I had to lean one way or another, I would say yes. But now, like I said, did I see wings or a halo? No, absolutely not. It was just an outline of the being, you know? That's the only way I can describe it. It's like a person with a translucent silhouette, but no distinguishable features, but just, yeah.
Just a quick question. When you were actually looking down to your body,
mm-hmm.
to your form, you were looking down. Could you feel anything yourself?
No. And that's the thing. I felt nothing. I didn't feel, you know, a body. I didn't feel the air, anything. The only time I felt something when he reached inside of my chest, and then that's when I felt the real sharp pain in the center of my chest. That's when I felt something. Until then, I felt absolutely nothing. And it was just like standing there, and the only thing you can really do is just witness what's going on. You really can't interact. You can't, you know, or try to influence what's going on. It's just happening in front of you is what I'm trying to say.
It's like he, reached into your chest and kickstarted your heart, basically.
Yes, exactly. You know, and I'll admit, I've been trying to look for answers on that. And like I said, you'll get, you know, it's hard to find a scenario that you were in, you know, to try to compare apples to apples. But it's a little sketchy when it comes to that stuff. But yeah, and like I said, there was nobody doing CPR or anything on me. It's just my heart started again. And I know I wasn't breathing because I had blood all down my throat and my mouth. I couldn't breathe.
I'm sure your family were very happy that you came back.
Yes.
And that's the reason why you came back. It wasn't your time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I believe that 100%. You know, and when my time actually does come, I'm going to be okay with it. You know, I think everybody at some level just kind of I won't say fear is death, but they're anxious about it, or they may fear it. But at this point, I'm not saying I'm going out and doing a bunch of crazy stuff because I don't worry about dying. But when my time does come, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah, it's very reassuring. It's been wonderful talking to you today, Dale.
Nick, it was great meeting you. Okay, and just keep up the good work, man. I love your podcast. So.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. That is all for today. Thank you to our guest, Dale, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week with another witness encounter. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.